Amen.
I tell you what, tonight is, I'm continuing a series that Pastor Doug has been teaching every Wednesday night. And one thing we want to do tonight that we haven't done on a Wednesday night is, how many of us know that we've got this goal for our building? Our building fund, amen? We're believing God that it's going to be paid in full by the end of the year. And we have about $7,500 or so maybe left to pay off on that building. And so tonight, whatever offering you give, our offering container is right there in the back. It's a wooden container, and we have envelopes there. Whatever you give will go towards paying off our building fund tonight. Amen? So we've got the change container back there as well. If you've got change in your purse, this would be a good night to empty it out. If you've got change in your pocket, leave here not jingling. How's that? That would be a good way for you to contribute. Amen? So we want to get that paid off with what God's blessed us with, and we can do it. Can we do it?
Amen.
All right, good. I know we can do it. I don't know about you. But so how many of you have been here for the other lessons on making your calling and election sure? All right. So we're going to pick up what Pastor Doug's been teaching, and he's been talking to us about God's got a call on our life. Amen? And he's called us to a lot of things, and it's our job to pick up the call and do it. Amen? So turn with me to Isaiah 61. Since we don't have a lot of time, I want to get right into the lesson. Tonight we're going to look a little closer to specifics on the call. You know, when people hear about the calling of God on their lives, they always think about some big question to be answered. What's the big thing God wants me to do? And how am I going to ever do it? And it's almost like everything in your life, from since you were a little child or since you got saved, you're always like building your resume for the call. Well, I don't think that's how God set it up. We should be doing his will along the way. Amen? So go with me to Isaiah 61, and we'll start with verse 1. And it says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach the gospel." Is that what it says in the good tidings to the meek? Now, in the Amplified, it says the gospel of good tidings. So if you were to look at that, the gospel, what's a gospel? Good news, right? So God didn't send anybody to preach bad news. Right? Even when we talk about hell, it's good news to know that you don't have to go to hell. Right? So the gospel is good news. And we're to preach it to those that are meek, poor, and afflicted. That's what it says in the Amplified. Okay? Basically to people who don't have the good news. Right? And he sent me to bind up and heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison and the eyes of those that are bound. Okay? So there's a opening up, a setting free, but there's action, right? You see all those action words? So what does action denote? You got to move. You know, I don't stand from here and say, I command that the people in the prison be set free. You know, there's a process that goes through with that. For me to, you know, preach from here to Australia, one way for them to get it would be by media. You know, they could listen on the internet and get the message I'm preaching. Another way is for me to go there. But there still had to be an action. I still had to say words. I still had to study. I still had to do something to get this out so they can hear. Amen? And so it's one thing to be anointed to do something. And it's another thing to actually do it. All right? Now hold your place there. And let's go to Luke chapter 4. So this is the Old Testament. All right? Luke chapter 4. We're going to go back there. Luke chapter 4, and I want to look at verse 1 for a minute. Then Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from Jordan and was led by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness. Okay? So Jesus was full of what? The Holy Spirit. And then he was led by the Holy Spirit. So you can't be led by the Holy Spirit if you're not full of him. If you don't have the Holy Spirit in his rightful place in your life, you cannot be led by him. So you can have a call, you know, you can tell me that you feel like you're called to be a preacher. But if you did not fill yourself up with the right stuff, you don't have the right message to be preaching. So I don't think the Holy Spirit can lead you to where you need to go to preach. You see? You've got the call, but you're not ready because you haven't done your part. Now, how long has the Bible been around? Pretty long time. Longer than you. The Bible's been around longer than the oldest person in this room tonight. So we have no excuse once we've become a Christian, a born-again believer, and the scales have fell from our eyes. You know, when Saul, changed his name to Paul, when he had his encounter with God, scales fell from his eyes, right? And so now he could see clearly what he had been doing wrong, and he could see clearly where he needed to go. But he had to take the initiative and now change all this information he had been operating on. Think about it. He had been operating on some pretty bad information. He was killing what should be left alive, keeping alive what should die. He was just doing the opposite of everything God called him to do. But think about it. The skill of his call was very highly developed. His ability to influence a group of people to do some stuff. His ability to speak his thoughts, right? So I would say his skill level was very well developed, but his information was completely wrong. And that has to do with the heart, right? So we see in verse 1 that Jesus was full of the Holy Spirit. Now, verse 2. For during 40 days in the wilderness where he was tempted, he ate nothing during those days, and when they were completed, he was hungry. He was tempted by the devil. Okay? The Bible is clear, my Bible is clear, that he was tempted, there it is, of the devil. So the Holy Spirit led him into the wilderness for training. Okay? But who tempted him? The devil tempted him. And did he overcome? We know that he did, right? Now, look at verse 13. And when the devil had ended every temptation, he left him until another more opportune and favorable time. And look at verse 14. Then Jesus went back full of the Holy Spirit. And the fame of him spread through the whole region round about. Did the temptation of the devil rob him of being filled with the Holy Spirit? It didn't. He was filled with the Holy Spirit when it started, and it said at the end of it, he was still full of the Holy Spirit. He didn't lose the power. You see what I'm saying? Now, look at verse 17, or verse 16. So he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and he entered the synagogue as was his custom on the Sabbath day. So let me just point this out. Jesus went to church. You see this? As was his habit. He went to church as church was done in that day. In that day, it was on the Sabbath day, and he went to church. He didn't come to condemn the world. You see? He came to fix things, but he came and he worked through the order that was already laid down. So he went to church. And when he was there, they handed him the book, and he opened the book and found the place where it was written. And what did he read? The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. He has sent me to announce release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to send forth as delivered those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, the day when salvation and favors of God profusely abound. Then he rolled up the book and gave it back to the attendant, sat down. And the eyes of all in the synagogue, they were gazing at him like, wow. Now let me explain something to you. They weren't gazing at him because he read the scroll. In the custom of that day, it was customary to read a certain passage of scripture. And every synagogue would have the same scripture to read. It just so happened that that day, at that time, that was the scripture that needed to be read. And he showed up to read it out loud. So and they were all amazed. Were they not amazed? Look at the next verse. They gazed at him, verse 21, and he began to speak to them. Today, this scripture has been fulfilled while you are present and hearing. And all spoke well of him and marveled at the words of grace that came forth from his mouth. And they said, is this not Joseph's son? So he said, and then he started speaking to them. Now listen, when Jesus stood up to read that passage, do you think he read it as, I sure hope I know what it means? Uh-uh. Don't you think it would have had some authority behind it, like he was really talking about himself? That the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel? Do you think that scripture applies to us? I agree, it does. But see, it's kind of scary to say it does for some people. Like, you mean, who am I? Now think about this for a minute. The book of Isaiah was written, Isaiah the prophet, this was recorded and said, Jesus wasn't here yet on planet Earth in the form of Jesus, of human, right? We know Jesus is forever. He's been from before, when, you know, he made man and everything. But Jesus, the baby Jesus, hadn't showed up yet, all right? And he came into the New Testament, and he quoted that scripture in church. Now, what is it that we say as Christians, that we want to be like who? We want to be like Jesus. Now, I would say that's a very good thing to be like, right? That's a very good person to be like. If any person you want to be like, let's be like Jesus. Well, what did Jesus do? Jesus repeated the power phrase of what God sent us here to do. To preach the good news. Now, in case you're still wondering if this verse applies to you or not. I mean, we're talking, this is Jesus, you know what I'm saying? He might have been saying this because he was talking about the fact that he's going to go die on the cross, you know, and have to go through all this pain and suffering, and maybe that's why this scripture was specifically written for him. So I'm not sure that, you know, I want to touch all that. Well, let's find out if that's true. Go with me to Mark chapter 16 and verse 15. Mark 16, 15. And this is part of our confession, isn't it? And he said unto them, go into all the world and preach the, preach what? The gospel to every creature. It says, he who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. You see that in the next verse? How do you have it? Well, he uses another word. Does that sound similar? It says, go into all the world and preach the what? The gospel. Now, this is Jesus giving us in the New Testament. He's giving it to his disciples, but this is to us to tell us to do what? To go and preach the gospel. So now let's go back to Isaiah 61. Hopefully you're holding your place there. Okay. And it says, verse 2, to proclaim the acceptable year of the favor of our Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant to those who mourn in Zion, to give them an ornament of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, the garment of praise instead of a spirit of heaviness, and that they may be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Who's supposed to be glorified? The Lord. Now tell me this. Paul was very skilled at what he did, right? Remember how he executed the judgments that he did among the people with skill and excellence. Was God glorified in his actions? No. When he was killing Christians? No. Right? God gets glorified in our lives when we can take a skill that we are very, very advanced in and have the anointing of the Holy Spirit come upon it. We can't be filled up with the Holy Spirit and not have God be glorified. It's impossible to do. When the fame of Jesus went around everywhere, was it because of his name or was it because of some of the stuff that people saw him do? Didn't they see him do a lot of stuff? He's healed the sick. He raised the dead. He cast demons out. Wasn't that what this fame was about? You know, like, wow. I mean, they marveled that he spoke with such authority because when he spoke, it was like he owned what he was saying. So my question is, do we own the word of God when we speak it? Do we own it? Or do we say it like it's a dream? You know, like let's look at Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Lord God, verse 1. Let's look at it from the screen there. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the meek. Can you say that with ownership? Can you say that with ownership? Or are you thinking about it that the Spirit of the Lord God is upon the preachers? Or he's upon, you know, the called ones, the chosen people? No. The Spirit of the Lord God is where? Is upon me, right? And you've got to take ownership of it or else your calling is going to be hanging out there. That's part of our calling. Our calling from God is to preach good news. It's to preach good news. He didn't change it in the New Testament. In Matthew 28, let's go to Matthew 28 for a minute. Matthew 28. And sometimes we think somebody else is going to do it. We all just sit around, we come to church, you know, or we get born again. And we just think, well, you know, it's okay. Like, even though I feel like I've been hearing from the Lord that I should do something, I'm sure he's got somebody else to do it. Like, it shouldn't be me. Like, it's no big deal if I don't do it. But we all are part of God's kingdom and he needs us all, okay? So I'm going to show you a transfer that occurred here. Okay, let's see here. Verse 6, this is about the women went to the tomb. And when they went to the tomb, the stone was rolled away. They saw the angel, and the angel said, he's not here, he has arisen. As he said he would, come see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he has risen from the dead, and behold, he's going before you to Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you. So they left the tomb hastily with fear and great joy and ran to tell the disciples. And as they went, behold, Jesus met them and said, hail, or greetings. And they went up to him and clasped his feet and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, do not be alarmed and afraid. Go and tell my brethren to go into Galilee. There they will see me. While they were on the way, behold, now listen to me. Jesus told the women to go tell the good news, right? And then he gave them an instruction to tell them where to go meet him. Jesus was starting the process of us carrying his message. Don't you think Jesus could have himself gone up there and tell them this? Right? We know that when they were in the upper room, he appeared. You know, he just like walked through walls after he was raised from the dead. He just would appear and show up. So we know Jesus had the ability to transfer himself like that. And he could have gone and just like told everybody himself. But he was utilizing the process he was putting in place for us to go tell the gospel. And these women who were first on the scene to be witnesses of what just happened, he utilized them. Now, wouldn't it be great to be the first on scene and God says, I want you to go tell, go tell, go tell. Think about in your life when you've been the first one on the scene and God would say to you, I need you to go tell this other group this message. But you're thinking, I can't do that. So you never did. Now, think of the time, think about where they were. These were women in that day and age that Jesus told to go tell men something. Now, how many know in that time, women really weren't the message carriers, right? The men really weren't too keen on listening to the women in that culture, but Jesus was breaking every barrier. Do you see? Does anybody else see this or is it just me? Okay. He was breaking every barrier. He was utilizing who came. The women showed up. So here's the thing about your call. You can hear every prophet tell you that you're called to do this and you're going to do this and you're a great this and that. If you don't show up, you'll never get the assignment. You got to show up. And where do you show up? You show up where God is hanging out. You see what I'm saying? You show up where God's doing something. The women went to the tomb. They were going to serve him. They were going there to check everything out to make sure it was okay. And when they showed up, they saw the evidence of a miracle of the risen Savior. The angels talked to them. Do you see the experience they just had? Angels talked to them, and they got to be the first people to share the gospel of the risen Savior. They got to tell people where to go. Now, of course, if you read on, they didn't believe them, but it doesn't matter because in Mark, it tells us our job is to preach the gospel, and they have to believe. A lot of times we don't feel comfortable preaching the gospel because we already decided that they're not going to believe. Who in the Old Testament had that kind of same experience? He didn't want to go because it was the land, those people don't deserve to hear. Jonah. Yep. A big old fish showed up, didn't it? Of course, that was after the shipwreck. The fish was actually mercy. Because if he didn't go into the fish, he would have been dead, right? But he learned a lesson. Our God is passionate about people knowing about the greatest gift that he's ever given to mankind. And if we think we're called to do anything other than that, we have been mistaken. Sadly mistaken. So when you're thinking about what your purpose is on earth and what your call is, you have to consider the first number one thing is to preach the gospel to every creature. Now, a lot of people start thinking, well, I don't want to be this and I don't want to be that because there are too many people doing this. Until the whole earth knows there's not too many of anybody. Right? There's not too many of anybody. God put us here on assignment in this time frame of eternity. And it's time that we wake up, right? And listen. We got to listen to his voice. So one of the things that I want you to consider doing on a regular basis, daily if you can, until you get this in your spirit and it becomes part of you that you don't have to read it anymore to say it, is you mark off Isaiah 61 in your Bible and you mark off Luke 4. And you confess that over yourself, that the Spirit of the Lord God has anointed me. He's upon me because he has anointed me. And that needs to get into your spirit. Your spirit man needs to be fed the Word of God. And that is the truth of the Word of God. Amen? And then you go into Mark and even Matthew 28. Towards the end there, verse 19, it says about going into all the world, making disciples of everyone, and preaching the gospel. Make those scriptures personal. I go into all the world. Listen, sometimes we just think so little. We think, well, God, how am I going to go into all the world? Where am I going to get the money from? I don't know anybody in another country. Here's a clue. How about if we get out the front door? We just take a couple steps. We go next door. We go across the street. We get up from our desk at the office. We go to the next office. Do you know how many people in the world you can touch just from touching the people next to you? You know, our neighbors are from Turkey. They get saved. You know what I could do in Turkey? Because they still have connection in Turkey. So we when we think of going into the world, it stops us because we think, I can't do that. I mean, so I'll support everybody that does. But your world should be so saturated with the gospel that if another Christian shows up in your world, they don't really have any room to preach the gospel. They got to go find their own group of people because you have saturated it with the gospel. You see what I'm saying? Or if they go talk to somebody about the gospel, the person will be familiar with what you're talking about, and you could be watering seed. Remember Paul says that some plant, some water, but it's God that gives the increase? So if your job is planting, plant. If it's watering, water. But we should always expect God to give the increase. But don't sit around and say, I don't know what my calling is. I'm not sure what God wants me to do. I don't know what I need to do in my life. The first step is to preach the gospel to every person that you can, that you come in contact with, and have them be saved and delivered and set free. But if you don't think that you're qualified, you're not going to do it, right? You're still going to be waiting for that big moment to happen, right? Now, how do you know what your call is? You know, in let's go to 2 Corinthians 5:18. 2 Corinthians 5:18. And it says, but all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Christ Jesus, and had given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Did you know that all of us, if you've been born again, because if you read the verses before that, it talks about being a new man, right? And if we be born again, then we have been given a ministry. Everybody that's been born again has a ministry of reconciliation. Now, the word reconciliation means to bring back together, to reconcile. To, you know, when you reconcile your bank account, your checkbook, you're making sure that what the check, what the bank statement says and what your checkbook says agrees, right? And that should give you exact balances. So the balance on your checking statement and the balance on your checkbook should match. They should be identical, right? And if one of them's off, what's most likely true in most cases? It's probably your checkbook. Your records are a little bit off usually, okay, unless the bank made an error. But so our job, we have a ministry of reconciliation. Now, if I were to come up to you and ask you, how's your ministry doing today? What have you done in your ministry this month? In your ministry of reconciliation? How is it going? How's your ministry going? You'd be like, what are you talking about? I'm not in ministry. But do you see the thinking that's got to change in us? Do you see the thinking that's got to change in us? So thought number one is you got to start thinking that you've got a ministry of reconciliation. And if we are to, if we were being graded in this ministry, how well would we do? How well would we do? So the ministry of reconciliation is to help straighten things out, you know? So even when you meet a Christian that's not quite, they're a little off because they don't know about certain things in the Bible. You can help them reconcile that with what you know in the Bible. Do you see what I'm saying? And so now you're feeding them the right information. So what they know, the Bible talks about renewing the mind, right? What they know now, you're giving them new information that they can renew their mind with. You're pointing them to the Word of God. The number one thing that we should be reconciling everybody's relationship to God with is what? The Word of God. This is the master right here that we should be using. So everything should be adjusting to accommodate this. We shouldn't be taking the Bible to people and start, you know, changing the scriptures around. Okay, let's see. What's your life look like? Okay, let me find a scripture to justify why you can still do that. That's not the ministry of reconciliation. You know what I'm saying? Is it right for you to live that way? Let's see. Hold on. I know there's a verse somewhere in there. Hang on just a second. Let me just move the Bible around a bit. Hold. You stay right there. Don't move. No. Who should be doing the changing? People. We should be changing, but this should always stay the same, right? We should never, like, you know, if I talk to somebody, I shouldn't be saying, well, let me explain what the scripture means. And I tell you one meaning, and then I go over to your friend, and I say, oh, no, that meaning applies only to her. Let me tell you what it really means for you. There's a standard here. You see? But the way that we get a check is if we work off of the anointing of the Holy Spirit. If we don't believe that the Spirit of the Lord God is upon us and that He's anointed us to preach this gospel, to do this ministry of reconciliation, we're doing this stuff on our own. Do you know in America, especially this time of year is when it shows up the most, you know, people, America is one of the most giving nations in the world. So it's a natural human training based on our culture and our environment for us to give when somebody needs it. It's just part of an American culture. But do you know if we don't develop our heart of giving based on the Word of God, then our giving mindset is not right. You realize that? Because we still go on feelings. We'll still go on feelings. As giving as America is, if you heard on the news today that one of the organizations you've been supporting, somebody got in sin or somebody's in jail or, you know, somebody stole the money or whatever, automatically, based on your thinking and training with the American culture, you will decide, well, I'm not giving to that anymore because we see where that money's going. But what if the Holy Spirit is telling you, no, I still need you to stay hooked in because I'm bringing somebody else in to keep it going. You understand what I'm saying? But if you were never hooked in properly to begin with, in your heart and in your mind, with the Holy Spirit leading you in that area of your life, you wouldn't even hear that message from God. You would just automatically do what's natural, what you've been so skilled at doing. You see what I'm saying? Which is figuring out how you divide your resources up all by yourself. The same thing with our time. You know, we decide that a lot based on culture. You see what I'm saying? And if we're not careful, we don't get to hear the Holy Spirit say, I need you to change your schedule today. I need you to go here instead of there. I need you to do this. You know, at 9/11, we've heard stories and reports of people who went to work late that day. They were in their prayer time, and the Holy Spirit says, I don't want you to go early today. I want you to go to work late today. Now, if you're not used to listening to the Holy Spirit, that would be a weird request. You'd actually be saying, I rebuke you, Satan, for wanting to get me in trouble with my boss. My cousin's husband was one of those people. He was the only survivor on the 81st or 82nd floor. And he remembered he was in prayer that day in his shower, and he got so caught up in praying that he was running late. And he felt like Holy Spirit was saying, I want you to be late today. And he was the only survivor. He was there. He came down the whole deal, but he survived. But the thing about it is, we got to be so in tune with the Holy Spirit, with the anointing of God that's in our life, that we know when to listen to that anointing and that voice versus our culture and what we're used to, the standards around us. You see what I'm saying? Okay. So we have been called to a ministry of what? Reconciliation. Let's go to Psalm 139 and verse 15. Are you learning something tonight? Psalm 139, verse 15. And it says, and my frame was not hidden from you when I was being formed in secret. Your eyes saw, verse 16, your eyes saw my unformed substance, and in your book, all the days of my life, this is what it says in the Amplified, all the days of my life were written before ever they took shape, when as yet there was none of them. So we know that before we were ever brought to earth, God wrote a book about us, about what he wanted us to do on earth. His dream life for us was already written down. It's already been written down. Did you know that? God's dream life for you has already been recorded. It's in blueprint format. And the only place we're going to get that detail out from is him. And if we have a relationship with him, we can ask him these questions and he'll answer. I pray like this sometimes. I say, God, you know, I pray, Holy Spirit, I pray that you quicken me to speed up if I'm slow somewhere or if I'm behind in this book. You know, I know God's got a book written about me, so I need to know if I'm on track. So can you like speed me up, slow me down, you know, hook me up with the relationships that I need to be hooked in, take me to the places I need to go, let me help the people I didn't help and I should have helped. I pray this way sometimes. I say, this is a catch-up day for me, God. I'm giving you all my time today to play catch-up. So I'm here to listen, you know, and that's when I get the most phone calls, I get the emails from people I've never met, you know, all this stuff. That's when I'd be like, it'll just be like, I said, wow, I'm way behind here. I'm like really way behind. But it's good for us to pray those things sometimes, you know, because I'm not asking for something that's unbiblical. I'm asking him to reveal to me what he wrote about me. And I'm yielding myself to say I'm willing to listen and to actually put some elbow grease into it. See, a lot of people are like praying, oh, God, please tell me what my call is. Please, Father. And he told them to, like, write a card 2 weeks ago. And they never did. But, oh, God, please, Father, I go write a card. You know, the person still needs encouragement. I'm trying to utilize your gifts here and your ability. But see, if we see those things as too petty, we'll never be able to, we can never flow. You see? We can never flow. Everything becomes about us then. Oh, Lord, I didn't write the card because I got too busy. You know, I got to make all this money. And Lord, you know, I'm a mother and I'm a wife and, you know, and I work. And okay, then let me know when you're ready. I'll be happy, you know. If we're not doing God's call, why are we here? Like, who are we going to stand before when it's all over? I mean, all the people I've worked for my whole life, I don't even know where they are today. I couldn't pick up the phone and call them because it's been so long. I don't know where they are. But you know, when you're caught up in that little environment, they become your God if you're not careful. You bow to their every request. You better be here. You better do that. And so your whole life gets caught up in what they want. People work for 40 years so that they can retire to do what? They don't know. But I can guarantee you, if you think long enough, 40 years ago, God would have asked you to do something and you might have never done it. Ask him to remind you what it was so you can start doing it now. You see what I'm saying? We take for granted that when we're done playing our games, God will just like, God, I'm ready now. I got all this skill. I've got all this experience in work. I got all my theological accolades on the wall. I've gone through all the process. Now I'm ready. He's like, oh, A, B, C, D. He's got to teach you the ABCs of the kingdom now because you're ready. You see what I'm saying? So what do we start? We start in Isaiah 61, right? Jeremiah 1:5. Here's what it says. And you can put it up if you want, Les. Jeremiah 1:5. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before you came forth out of the womb, I sanctified you and I ordained you a prophet to the nations. He was saying this to Jeremiah. Jeremiah was having a little bit of a problem accepting what God wanted him to do, right? Do you realize that before anybody ever got to touch you, God did? Do you realize that? Psalm 39 says that he formed my inward parts. The fingerprint of God is on the inside of every single one of us. Before you ever give your heart to somebody in love, God had already touched your heart. His fingerprint is all over the inside of us. One day, when I got the revelation of that one day, I was just like in awe. I said, oh my God. So when I'm asking God to fix something inside of me, I'm saying to him, God, put your fingerprints back in me. Do you realize before we were born, while he still had the permission to form us, he could put his hand inside and form us because he had permission and it was in order for him to do that. As soon as we are born and we become of the age of understanding, we have to give him permission to go back in again. Do you see what I'm saying? We have to tell him, I want you to touch me inside again. But before that, he can do it without us, our permission. So how many of us have pushed him away because we're so well trained now? We've been so educated. We got so many friends. We know so many people that we're working our thing out. And he never got, you never told him again that you have freedom to roam around my body with your hands like you want to. You know, the power of the Holy Spirit, when we get filled with the Holy Spirit, we have the power, the infilling of the Holy Spirit in us. But I believe that God himself, our Father God, would still like to reach in and just play around. You know what I'm saying? You know, sometimes we sing songs and we go, oh, touch us, Father, just touch us. Do we know, if we could understand what that means, you know, like, what does it feel for God to go inside? If you have a broken heart, does he know how to fix it? Yeah. But I'd rather him fix it from the inside because he knows what it should look like. He knows where holes are that he didn't put. When his fingerprints were on it, he didn't put a hole there. You see what I'm saying? But we get to say to him now, God, go inside and touch me again like you did when you were making me. So tonight, the main thing I want to get across to us is that we should know and recognize that the Spirit of the Lord God is upon us because he has anointed us to do what? To preach the good news. And we have been all called to the ministry of reconciliation. So our job is to help reconcile things that are out of order with the Word of God to bringing it in order with the Word of God. So if there's sickness hovering over your family, your life, you know, or people you know, you have the master plan to bring that back into reconciliation. It doesn't have to be. If depression is reigning, you know, supreme in your environment, you don't have to put up with it. You've got the book. You got the master plan book to bring things back into reconciliation. Amen? Let's stand together, and I just want us to pray together. Now that we have some information from the Word, let's just pray it out into our lives. Are you with me on that? Amen? So Father God, tonight I just pray right now in the name of Jesus, and I thank you, Father, for your Word that brings forth good fruit. I thank you, Lord, that every person that hears this word and takes it into their heart, that believes your word, Father, that's thinking now of making a change in their lives, making adjustments where they need to make it, and doing the things that you want them to do. Father, I speak right now that your word will bring forth good fruit and that none of it will be stolen or taken away from the enemy. And Father, I speak right now that you will come down. We give you permission. If you give him permission, you just tell him you give him permission. But Father, I give you permission in my life, in my body, in my spirit, in my soul, in my mind, to put your fingerprints back in me. The same fingers that touched me when you were forming me in my mother's womb. Those same fingers that gently created every system in my body. Father, I ask you to reach inside of me and touch them. And I pray, Father, that as you do that in us tonight, that you will straighten out things that are tangled up, things that are confused inside of us that don't go together, but they're somehow tied up. And Father, I pray that every broken-hearted person here will be fixed again, Father. They'll have a brand new heart, that their heart will be changed back after you. Like you said, David had a heart after you, Father. And Lord, we pray that you will just reach in, Father, and heal from the inside out and eradicate, reconcile what the enemy has caused to be out of balance and out of sync with your word. And Father, I pray that you'll give us opportunities to share the gospel of Jesus Christ, especially in this season. Let us be your mouthpiece to the people that we come in contact with. Let them hear the gospel of the truth of your word, that they can be changed, that they can be reconciled back to the Father, that they can truly become a new creation in Christ Jesus. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Father, for doing a good work in us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. Don't forget that if you'd like to give an offering tonight, it's all going towards our building. Don't forget the word tonight. Go home and meditate on it. Amen. God bless you.